Well, last week we looked at some things concerning restoration, how God can restore our lives when we need it. And one of the scriptures we looked at was Psalm 23, about God being a shepherd and having so well taken care of Israel. And one of the things that he did was restore his soul. David wrote the psalm. So it got me thinking about shepherding and how wonderful God was as a shepherd to Israel. So I had asked Colleen this week if she would share on some things concerning shepherding and God as a shepherd, things that do involve us. And she said, sure. So, and Colleen has done a lot of studying through the years on shepherds. It's just a great subject in God's Word, and it's nice to be taken care of from God Almighty and one another. So, it's a godly thing. So, Colleen, it's all yours.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to turn on the stopwatch on my phone because there are so many great things. I don't want to keep you guys from your Super Bowl. So, let's turn first to 1 Samuel chapter 17. David is an example of a shepherd, and it's really neat how he learned about trusting God as a shepherd. He learned how to take care of God's people by learning about taking care of sheep. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, we will start in verse 34. And is everybody there? Uh-huh. Okay, it says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept, this is when Goliath was challenging the armies of Israel, and they were all completely paralyzed by fear. And David heard about this, and this is what his response was. It says, and David said unto Saul, the king, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him, and I slew him. Thy servant, this is David speaking of himself, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee.
Boy, girl, that sounds good. I don't want to go up against Goliath.
But it's pretty neat that David learned these things of trusting God in those fields as a young man. You know, at the time that he spoke these words, he was still a youth. So that's pretty amazing. Go to Psalm 78. A little bit more about David's life as a shepherd. And you see a little bit of the tenacity of an Eastern shepherd. We don't really have this, in our culture. I actually, when I was in Wyoming as a WOW, I met somebody who was a shepherd. And I went to the ranch where he was a hired shepherd. They weren't his sheep, but, that was his job. And it was kind of interesting learning about them when I was out there. But David, while he took care of these sheep, he really learned to trust God. So Psalm 78, I'm only at 70. We're going to look at verses 72. And this is what God said about David. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheep folds, from following the ewes that would be the female sheep, great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. That's two different ways of saying his people, because Jacob was Israel. So it's pretty neat. He says he was feeding, taking care of, shepherding, and that word feed is to be a shepherd too. So God took him from being a shepherd to physical little sheep and taking care of them to taking care of his people, and he calls his people his inheritance. That's how God viewed the people that that David would take care of. And then look at this beautiful verse 72. So he fed them. This is speaking of David. He fed them or shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with the skillfulness of his hands, or the wisdom, the discernment, the understanding of his hands, which is a neat figure. Your hands don't have wisdom, but in the way he took care of them, and it is a, you know, a hands-on kind of job, taking care of sheep, and it is taking care of God's people too. So now, I want to read Psalm 23 again. I know it is one that you're pretty familiar with already, but it's such a beautiful psalm. And again, thinking about David as this young man taking care of sheep and learning about that responsibility and carrying out that responsibility with such integrity, with such commitment, that he went up against a lion. Then he went up against a bear, you know, to take care of them. And he didn't have a rifle. He had a club. He had stones in his little bag. They call it the shepherd's purse. It's amazing. So when he writes these words, speaking of God, he really comes at this from a place of different understanding than the rest of us. You know, those hours he spent out in the field being a shepherd, and then he saw, this is how God takes care of me. He's writing these words about how God takes care of himself. Okay, so verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want or have lack. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So he knew that God would take him to the best places to eat. He leadeth me beside the still water. Something about sheep is they're kind of skittish. They don't like moving water. So God would take him to the best place for him to eat where he wouldn't be afraid. Just like David found the quiet waters for the sheep. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He would take him the right path, the path where he'd be safe and well-fed and protected and taken care of. And again, this is what David did for his sheep, what God did for David, and what he continues to do for his people. Look, verse 4 is a great one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's pretty neat. The rod was what the shepherd had as the main means of defense, you know, that he could, it was like a club. That he could beat off a coyote or animal that was coming to attack the sheep. And the staff was used to guide and direct the sheep. So that was a comfort to the sheep. And, you know, one of the things that's really so beautiful about the shepherd in the East and those sheep is that his physical presence was such a big deal. Just him being there was a comfort to the sheep. They are kind of, you know, skittish animals, they're kind of afraid. But the other thing that's pretty cool about sheep is they allow themselves to be led. They want to be led, which is really important. So I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What a beautiful truth, you know, that we can take to ourselves, that, you know, we have no reason for fear. Sometimes there might be something that startles us, but when we bring our mind back to a place of remembering God is right here with me, you can speak in tongues as a great reminder of that, then you know that there's no reason for fear. Okay, verse 5, it says, thou preparest a table or a feast before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's pretty cool. While I'm having a feast, you're dealing with the enemies. That's really neat. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. This is pretty neat. The anointing of oil is how David became king, if you remember that record. You know, that's an anointing of honor. Also with sheep, they would use oil. Olive oil is very healing. Like if you have dry hands and you put olive oil on overnight, they're like healed by the morning. So it's kind of a neat twofold thing there. And again, my cup runneth over. If the shepherd couldn't find still water, if the only water available was moving, he would give the sheep a little cup of water. Mm. It's so sweet. There's such a tenderness in this example of
how God takes care of us like a shepherd would a sheep. And then verse 6 is beautiful. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what's going to pursue me. That's what's going to pursue us. Goodness, God's graciousness, his loving kindness. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is certainly true of us. We have eternity together. Now go to Isaiah chapter 40. I think we're mostly in order here. Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, chapter 40. And then it says, this is really neat, again, about God being that shepherd to Israel. Really, what we looked at first was David being a shepherd to actual sheep. David called God his shepherd, his personal shepherd. Now it's looking at God as, if you wanted to look up Psalm 80, it says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, that leadeth Joseph like a flock." And that was a psalm that's attributed to Asaph. So he's called the shepherd by more than one, but this is a neat one here. Isaiah 40, verse 10, it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for you. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Isn't that a beautiful mind picture? You know, of God taking care of his people like that. And I love this. His reward is with him. The reward, the blessing, the prize to God is his people. And the work before him, also his people. You know, he looks at taking care of his people as his inheritance, we read in the other verse. And here, his reward, his prize, his treasure, and the work is right before him too, of taking care of his people. And I love that. That's what the shepherd would do, was pick up those little young lambs that were having trouble walking and carry them. Also, if one of them was injured or hurt, he would pick them up and carry them. You see pictures of that where sometimes they'd have them over their shoulders or cradling them. And think how God takes care of us. It's so beautiful. And then it's neat, continue in verse 12, this same God who's so tender and so compassionate and caring and taking care of those tiny little lambs. Look at verse 12. "God, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out or measured the heavens with the span." That's from thumb to fingertip. That's the heavens in God's hand. The waters of earth in the hollow of his hand. You know, he's so massive and powerful, and yet so tender in taking care of his people. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. "And comprehended or counted the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." I think that's so beautiful. Again, looking at them together, you know, he's so almighty and powerful, and yet so tender in taking care of us. Continue in Isaiah chapter 63. This is another really beautiful section, just a couple verses we'll read. Isaiah 63, 11 and 12. It says, "Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, Where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? And where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name?" So let's look at this just a little more slowly. In verse 11, he's asking the question, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? And in some of the ancient manuscripts, it's actually plural. Moses was certainly the prominent one leading them, but there were others too. And he did place spirit within Moses for that job of leading his people, and in others too, for that job in taking care of his people. And then this verse 12 is so beautiful, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm. So picture that. You know, here's God with his arm leading Moses, and Moses with his hand leading God's people. Isn't that beautiful? That's how they made it through that sea on dry land. It's so cool. We're not going to read it now just for the sake of time, but I'm going to tell you a little bit. If you wanted to look at later, Ezekiel chapter 34 is like a study on shepherding, what it is not. God's people were not being taken care of by the elders who should have been. You can stay where you are. Well, or continue. We're going to go to Matthew next if you want to go there. But I'm going to just tell you a little bit about what's in this chapter, and if you want to look at it later. God really does not take it lightly, you know, when people that are supposed to be taking care of his people aren't. They're supposed to be feeding them God's word. And this is reproof, pretty stern reproof, to those pastors in this time period of the prophet Ezekiel, where those people who should have been teaching God's word and taking care of his people were not. They were selfish. They were, instead of taking care of the people, they really were concerned about themselves. And God reproved them pretty sternly. I'll read you two verses. It's in verse 4. It says, "The diseased you have not strengthened." That was the job of a shepherd. If there was a sheep that was diseased, that had a need, he was to take care of them. So it says, The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which is driven away. And the fifth one is, neither have you sought that which was lost. So that was the job of a shepherd, to do those things. Three of them have to do with their physical well-being, their wholeness, taking care of if they were they were injured or sick or hurt. You know, that shepherd's job was to take care of them. And it's neat thinking in terms of how God does that for us. In fact, later in the chapter, verse 11, he says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." And basically that's what he says to these men that should have been doing this job. He's going, well, you're not doing it, and, you know, there'll be a day of reckoning for you, but I'm going to take care of my sheep. And that's what he did and continues to do for us. Okay, so Matthew chapter 9, let's go there. It's really a beautiful mind picture that you see of God's love and care. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel," or the good news of the kingdom, "and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." That's a good shepherd, right? Then verse 36, he says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." So he saw this great need. He was healing and out there, you know, making known the good news, teaching people about God. But it was a massive job. And then verse 37, this is neat. "Then saith he," this is a little, look ahead to the future. He said, "Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You know, one of the things with shepherds is if a man was very wealthy and had a lot of sheep, sometimes he hired people to help with that work of taking care of those sheep. And it's kind of cool looking ahead to what was available later. Go to John chapter 10 now. This is a great chapter about Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, which he calls himself in Revelation. He understood this to be his job. "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And this is something, again, that's a little different than what we see in sheep are now on ranches. But in the Bible lands, they would graze, and there would be sheepfolds throughout the country where some of them, you see pictures of ones where there'd be like a stone wall, not as fancy as the stone wall back there.
But the stone, you know, would be stones piled up to make a sheepfold. That was one way. Sometimes they'd even be in a cave, but there'd always be an enclosure. You know, scattered throughout the land, there were these enclosures called sheepfolds, and it would be something where in the night they could lead their sheep in, and some of them were really big enclosures, which we'll see a little bit further as we read, that sometimes there'd be flocks that were mixed together in this big enclosure, but there was always somebody that protected that opening of the enclosure, and that would be the shepherd. So there's this enclosure, the shepherd at the gate, and somebody that would want to steal or harm the sheep would try to get in another way, because we already saw the commitment of David as a shepherd. You know, they weren't going to just let somebody come in and steal the sheep. So he was there to guard and protect them. So the thieves would try to get in other ways to climb in to steal them. Look at verse 2. It says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth," or the gatekeeper openeth. This would be at a time where there would be mixed flocks. So there would be a gatekeeper and different shepherds that would come to that gate. The gatekeeper would let only those shepherds in. "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." They recognize his voice. That's because he spent time with them, hours and hours every day. He talked to them. He took care of them. They recognized him. So that's pretty neat. And a stranger, these sheep, they may be a little skittish, but they're not stupid. Look at verse 5. "A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And there's been times where I've seen a video of this where they have these mixed flocks of sheep all together in an area, and then the shepherds come and they have like a unique call. And each shepherd, if we were shepherds here and these were our mixed up flocks, you would each have a unique sound that you would make, and that would have the sheep would all kind of filter through and find their own shepherd to spend the day with, and they know their shepherd's going to take them to where there's good water, quiet water, good food, pasture, places for them to lie down and rest. He knew all of their needs. If they had a scrape, he would tend to that scrape. He would bind up that wound. That was the job of the shepherd. And this was what Jesus Christ recognized as his responsibility in caring for his sheep, his people. They weren't sheep, but they were this figure of speech, this parable. It says in verse 6, they understood because they saw the way these shepherds took care of them. It says, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." They didn't understand it at first. Then verse 7, it says, "Then Jesus saith unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He was willing to go to battle for those sheep. He loved them. Then verse 12 says, "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." He was indeed the good shepherd. And it's neat. There's a lot of great truths in here where he says he knows his sheep, and then he says, "and am known of mine." You know, the way that we know Jesus Christ is by reading God's word, learning about him, you know, seeing all that he did and seeing him exemplifying the will of God in how he ministered to people, the truths that he spoke, the actions that he took. That's how we know Jesus Christ. We can recognize that we can be known, we are known of him, and we can know him. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter, I wanted to also go to John 21.
21?
Yeah. Now we're doing it. So John chapter 21, and again, this was a time where Jesus Christ was in his resurrected body and he's looking ahead to the ascension, and he's challenging Peter to carry out the responsibilities Peter would have. This was after Peter had spent a night fishing and didn't catch anything. And then Jesus met him on the shore. He told him, throw your net. I forget which side of the boat, but he tells him exactly where to throw it. And he gets all this fish. And then he realizes, oh, that's the Lord doing that again. And then so Jesus cooked the fish for him. Again, just so gracious, so kind, so merciful. Verse 15, it says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these fish? Can you imagine Jesus Christ asking that question? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto Peter, feed my lambs. Take care of my little lambs. And then verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Again, take care of my people. And this, you know, the feed here in these verses, it was to actually give them food, but also to take care of them, to be a shepherd to them, and all that was involved in that. You know, binding the wounds, protecting them, you know, making sure they had what they needed in every way. Verse 17, it says, he saith unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. This was really bumming him out here. Because he saith unto him the third time, do you love me? Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So he's saying, no, if you really love me, then you take care of my people. That's what he wanted from him. And then verse 18, it's really neat. He says, truly, truly, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and whither walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not, or where you don't have a desire to go. And this is pretty neat. Again, he's saying that, you know, if you want to take care of my people, then you get rid of selfishness, that immaturity of selfishness, and you be willing to be led. You know, Moses initially didn't really want to do the job that God called him to do, did he? But he allowed himself to be led by the Father. And he went places he didn't want to go. And ultimately, he was very blessed doing it. Peter did that. You know, a little few chapters later in your Bible, you can read about him going into the household of Cornelius. That was a place he didn't want to go, right? But he was willing to be led and then to lead God's people. So he did. It's really neat when you see him, you know, carrying out this charge that Jesus gave him. And then he wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 a really neat section about how this really applies to us. In addition, the others apply very much to us too in our understanding of God's willingness to care for us so gently and tenderly. But then in 1 Peter 5, we'll start in verse 2. This is a section that's addressed to the elders of the church. Peter tells them, feed the flock of God which is among you. And this is, the word flock is kind of a neat little word. It's a word that means the little flock. You know, kind of like us right now here. We're a little flock. We're a little group of people that are gathered together, you know, to hear God's word. And the charge to the elders was, you take care of them. And again, it's feed, but it's really to shepherd, which involves feeding, like we're doing right now, you know, holding forth God's word. But it involves more than that, you know, binding up the wounds, taking care of them in every way. This is what God wants for his people. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not being like that hireling that really is just kind of doing it, you know, as a 9-to-5 job, and then he's out of there, you know, but as someone that's really concerned for the things of God, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, that having that desire to take care of God's people. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Here he says the same same truth, that he described the sheep, you know, the children of Israel, you know, like sheep that he took care of as his inheritance. We're his inheritance. We're God's people. You know, and in the way we see each other and take care of each other, that's how we remember. This is God's kid I'm taking care of right now. We didn't look at the verses, but there's some where it really talks about that commitment to go and find. There were a couple that touched on it, but you know, they would go to great lengths to find a little sheep that had gotten lost and went away. You know, they would find that sheep. They would pursue that sheep to take care of it. We can do that with one another. Sometimes it was just a little sheep that got maybe distracted and lost. Other times they were driven away, you know, by wild animals or somebody like a thief that would come in, like we read in John 10. So again, this is something that, you know, we can do for God's people. You know, by first and foremost, holding forth God's word, you know, and recognizing when someone's getting tricked, when they're getting off the word. One of the things that was in a shepherd's purse, he would carry the rod and the staff, and then he also had, remember in the, later in that record of David and Goliath, he took that stone from his bag. That was something he carried. And the stones could be used for protection. They could also be used when a sheep was getting a little bit, you know, off track. They could toss the throne, like let's say Clara was this little sheep and she was going the wrong way. If I threw a stone a little beyond Clara, that would kind of get the little sheep's attention and realize, oh, I'm going off track, and then they would go back. You know, and again, we do that with God's word. Sometimes we do that without even having any idea we're doing it. As we're just speaking the word of God to one another, we go, oh yeah, what was I thinking? And you bring your mind back to what the word of God says. And look at this in, okay, so verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, not like we boss people around, but being examples to the flock. And then verse 4, beautiful verse, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I know it's going to be really cool. That's so neat. What a beautiful way to describe this, you know, that this reward that we're going to get for taking care of his people. And then it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Isn't that beautiful? Uh-huh. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Grace to the humble. I'm going to read you the Working Translation of that verse. In like manner, you younger people, be subject to the elders, and in this context, it's the leaders, not just every old person, but to the leaders, you know, in the church. That's something again that's a great trait of those sheep. It was a benefit to the sheep that they were willing to be led, that they recognized, I don't know where the good pasture is, I don't know where the still water is. They followed that sheep, they trusted that shepherd. You know, this is something, there's another section where it talks about horses, you know, being led by the bit, and that's an advantage. You know, they get to go places that they wouldn't go if they were stubborn. You know, we get the blessings when we allow ourselves to be led. And then the next part of this, it says, so first, the first part of this verse, it addresses younger people being subject to the elders, and then it says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility of mind toward one another, because God opposes the arrogant but gives grace to the low or humble. Again, you know, it's when we're humble, when we line ourselves up under the beauty of God's word, that allows him to bless us. That's why it says, you know, he's one of them says that he hates pride. You know, that because he can't really help somebody who doesn't want. Just like if the sheep were not, like goats are not as easy to lead, but a sheep wants to be led. We want to be like that in our relationship with God and really within the body of Christ. You know, to be, what a beautiful figure of speech, to be clothed with humility. Like you put on a beautiful garment. Clothe yourself with humility of mind, that desire to learn from one another and be a blessing to each other. And then verse 6, look what happens when we do that. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's what he does. Look what he did for Jesus Christ, who was the most humble man, you know, most willing to bring himself low, really to actually be buried in the earth,
doesn't get any lower than that, and God raised him from the dead. And this promise to us is that he will exalt us. You know, he's the one who does this. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, just like those sheep that trusted, he's going to take care of me. That's what we do. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, and again, we want to be aware. We want to be mindful that, you know, there is an adversary whose goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ made life more abundantly available to us. And again, as we stay in God's Word and allow ourselves to be led by God and help each other, you know, as we're living our lives, then we get these blessings, and the adversary doesn't have a foothold to steal, kill, or destroy from us. So that's what I wanted to share with you guys. There's lots more in there.
Thanks, Colleen.